tap, a dead tap, wham, bump, a tap, a dead tap. Gold Mary in the bag and tied around my neck for my protection. I'm walking around, big old sack on my back, coming in your direction. What kind of tea do you like? I got it. I'm the medicine man, herb from the land, yeah. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Me, rosemary, calm your nerves, got peppermint leaf to get rid of my fever. I keep periwinkle to get some love now. Whoa, I got hug me clothes to make my backbone strong. Gold cola tonic for my blood, dandelion for my bones, y'all. I can leave to keep away flies. Hot lady cayenne for my pressure. Oh, I'm the herb man, come see me. Oh, I'm the herb man, you all come see me. Get the children out of the way now. No, you can't smoke this, sir. This is for salad. Yes, for salad. Herbman, Herbman.
And good afternoon. And welcome to another episode of To Your Health. To Your Health is a program designed not only to inform, but also to turn your life and health around. I am Dr. Theodore Watkins, the host of To Your Health. And I'm joined here today by my trusty assistant, Brother Frank Smith. How are you doing, Brother Frank?
Doing well, Doc. How about you?
I'm doing extremely well. Today, Brother Frank, our topic is inflammation. I've observed that many in our community talk often about getting back to their African roots. But what does that really mean, and what impact would that have on our lives and on our health? Well, if we look at rural Africa from a health perspective, we see that the life expectancy in the rural area is at least 43% higher than the life expectancy in the city.
Wow.
In other words, where they follow a more traditional diet and lifestyle, they live much, much longer than that portion of the country that tries to follow a more Western lifestyle. Today, we want to look at inflammation because it is one of the leading causes of death and disability in our community. And we want to see if our African heritage has any answers to this problem. Now, inflammation actually is a normal process of the body's defense to injury or infection. And this way, it is actually beneficial to us. Mm-hmm. So inflammation was created to be beneficial. This response includes the release of antibodies and proteins, as well as it actually increasing the blood flow to that damaged area so that life-giving resources can be delivered. But if inflammation is damaging, but inflammation is damaging when it occurs in healthy tissue or when it lasts too long. Mm-hmm. You know, when your body's suffering an injury or an infection, we immediately know that inflammation is a part of that healing process. And most cases, it is short term, what we call acute inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
As if you get a cut on your skin a bee sting or something like that, you know, the skin will swell. There'll be some redness, heat, a little pain. And this often will go away in a few hours or a few days. Inflammation in the body's cell or tissue may cause that heat, all right? It may even cause a little loss of function for a while, but it tends to be short-lived.
Mm.
Now, if the inflammation fails to resolve itself, if it lasts for a few weeks, few months, few years, then it becomes what we call chronic inflammation. And it could actually contribute to more tissue injury and disease. Now chronic inflammation is associated with more than half the deaths worldwide. Let me say that again, Brother Frank.
Wow.
The reason we're discussing this today is chronic inflammation is responsible for more than half the deaths in the world. And in the United States, chronic inflammation is associated with about 90%. About 90% of the deaths in the world. Now, we find that environment can play a role in inflammation, and it can be associated. This inflammation can be associated with these autoimmune collagen vascular diseases, such as rheumatoid arthritis. It's associated with cardiovascular diseases such as hypertension and heart disease, GI or gastrointestinal disorders like inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's and ulcerative colitis. It's associated with lung diseases like chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, along with asthma. It's associated with mental illness, Brother Frank.
That too?
Depression, metabolic diseases like type 2 diabetes, degenerative diseases such as Parkinson's disease, and even some cancers. So we can readily see that inflammation clearly is associated with about 80-90% of the deaths here in the United States.
Wow. Because
these are the things that we're dying from, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, tissue inflammation may result from exposure to those environmental chemicals, you know. It's associated with a high fat diet. It's associated with eating processed foods where the fiber and other phytochemicals have been removed. It's associated with pathogens, germs like bacteria, viruses, and fungus. It's associated with things like radiation. So there's so many things that can bring on inflammation. And one of the things that we see is something called oxidative stress, where there's an imbalance in the body's ability to rid itself of toxins that injure. And one of them, one of the processes is called inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Inflammation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we became very familiar with inflammation when COVID came, because we were taught that COVID, the main problems with COVID was due to hyperinflammation, where the body just, you know, had excessive inflammatory response, you know. But we also see this hyperinflammation, enhanced in respiratory diseases like lung cancer, COPD, asthma, and acute respiratory distress syndrome. These are also examples of this hyperinflammation. Now, this environmental exposure that we talked about actually depletes the antioxidant defenses of our bodies. When we have this oxidative stress, the body has a natural response. But when we are exposed chronically to this inflammation, it actually depletes it. And so we're not able to respond. And that brings on more inflammation. That brings on cell death, DNA damage, and of course, disease and our demise. The ability to respond to this oxidative stress is a central determinant of the aging process and longevity, all right? And thus it's implicated in so many of these diseases, like we talked about cancer, atherosclerosis, and cardiovascular disease, respiratory disease, neurologic. This inflammation is a monster, all right? And so if we are able to respond to these environmental stressors, we can that reduce our life expectancy, you know, we can help us to live longer, you know, and we bring about a balance between the pro and anti inflammatory proteins, you know. We've studied pancreatic cancer, you know, which is one of the most devastating types of cancer that we can find in this country. And we find that a mechanism by which inflammation acts in concert with DNA damage is actually inducing the mutation that leads to the cancer and the reoccurrence of the cancer, you know? And so this inflammation thing is powerful. Now we can treat inflammation with medicines and with steroids, all right? But some of the researchers looking into this are learning that one of the best ways to decrease inflammation is not found in the medicine cabinet, Brother Frank, but found in the refrigerator. And by following an anti-inflammatory diet, we're able to fight off inflammation for good. Now that seems like a simple statement, but it's very, very powerful, because here we're getting to the root. All right, we're getting to the root of the problem, and so we're able to fight it off for good. Whereas when we take the medicine, even when we take the supplements, we're masking the problem. We're putting the Band-Aid on that cancer, Brother Frank.
Yep.
And you know, it seems like it's gone, but it ain't gone. All right. So your immune system becomes activated when the body responds to these foreign invaders, you know, these plant toxins, these chemicals, these viruses and so forth, and that can be really threatening. But if we are willing to choose the right anti-inflammatory diet, we're able to reduce the risk of diseases. Now, I use the word there, Frank, that's very important.
Yep.
Shoes.
Shoes, that's it.
If we choose the right inflammatory diet. Conversely, if we consistently choose the wrong one, we can elevate, accelerate the inflammatory disease process. So what are some of the foods that we know that cause inflammation? What are some of the foods that cause inflammation? What would be one of the first ones that come to your mind, Brother Frank?
Sugar. Added sugar. Added sugar. Trans fats.
Sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar and other processed foods, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Fine carbohydrates, such as white bread and pastries that we just love, Brother Frank.
Yep.
We love them. Love them to death. Yes, we do.
Mm-hmm.
French fries and other fried foods. I was talking today. I think I was mentioning it to you. I remember my kids asked me to take them to one of the restaurants to get a sandwich, a burger sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
They were quite young at the time. And you know, I always like to please my children. But I said, I cannot in good conscience, knowing what I know, take you and buy that sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
They said, no problem, Dad. What about a fish sandwich? And I said, no problem. And I went and bought the fish. But now as I look back on it, I shouldn't have bought the fish because the fish was soaked in oil.
That's right.
All right? The fish was soaked in oil. Now, at the time, you know, it was, you know, over 30 years ago, we didn't have as much of the farm fishing that we have now. So the fish itself wasn't necessarily so bad, but how it was prepared, those fried, deep fried, you know.
Deep fried.
Yeah. So you mentioned the sugar, the sodas and so forth. I mean, terrible. Red meats, the burgers, the steaks, the processed meats. You know, processed meats are some of the worst foods you can eat.
Class 1 carcinogen.
Yeah, man. When I used to eat meat back in the day, it was one of my favorite meats.
Oh, yeah.
Those hot dogs and those sausages and, you know.
Bacon.
Man, and what we find, the reason it tastes good is because it's so high in fat.
Mm-hmm.
All right? It's so high in fat, you know. But we also have to deal with the chicken and the egg. Now, you'll see some people say, well, chicken doesn't cause inflammation because it's lean. Well, they're back in the they're back in the Stone Age, man. Chickens today are not lean.
Nope.
You know, they're quite fat, and they're fat for a reason. The eggs are large. And they're large for a reason, you know. And both the chicken and the eggs contain something called arachidonic acid.
Mm-hmm.
Arachidonic acid, and that arachidonic acid has been shown to increase inflammation. Now, the body needs arachidonic acid, right? And so as a result, the body produces its own arachidonic acid. We don't have to eat that chicken and eggs to get it, all right? But margarine and shortening and lard, those are also sources of foods that causes inflammation. So what about foods that are healthy, that fight inflammation. You know, we're gonna take a little break, try to make some money here today, Brother Frank, and then we're gonna come back and talk about those foods.
It's over, Doc.
Oh, it's over?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yep. We don't have to raise no money.
No, no.
But we
do want to thank some people. We didn't thank them last week. And give me a second. Let me pull that up.
Because we went over.
Yeah, we did over.
We went over. So give some thanks, Brother Frank.
Yes, sir.
Because we appreciate folk who support this program. We believe this program is life-saving if we choose.
That's right. I think we thanked Anonymous from Mount Rainier and Barry from North Potomac, George Walker from Washington, D.C., Robin from Glendale, Maryland, Anonymous from Annandale, Virginia, Peter Selman from Columbia, Maryland, Anonymous from Washington, D.C., another Anonymous from Washington, D.C., Lynette Berry from Lanham, Maryland, Gary Smith from La Plata, Maryland, and Rhonda from Fairfax, and Wilbert Hope. Thank you so much, Wilbert Hope from Stafford, Virginia. Thank you so much for exceeding our goal, for sure.
We like to do that. It pains me when we don't make our goal. fortunately, in the years that I've been on, that has only happened a couple times, Brother Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Because people appreciate what we're doing and they support us, and so we're so thankful for. Now, what about foods that are anti-inflammatory? They fight against inflammation. Well, one of them is tomatoes.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, now I'm going to stop here for a moment, because a lot of people are always bad-mouthing tomatoes. You know, you shouldn't eat the tomatoes because tomatoes cause inflammation. Well, tomatoes cause inflammation only if you're allergic to tomatoes.
That's right.
They are what we call a nightshade, all right? And some people are allergic to nightshades, and it causes them problems. So if they have rheumatoid arthritis, you know, lupus, Crohn's disease, or one of those collagen vascular diseases, fibromyalgia, and they are allergic to nightshades, it can make it worse. But if they are not allergic, these foods are very powerful. They contain tremendous anti-inflammatory properties. Not only the tomatoes, but even the tomato seeds, Brother Frank.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. The tomato seeds. Now, this next one, there's some controversy. Olive oil, the extra virgin olive oil, certainly acts as an antioxidant. It has an anti-inflammatory properties like similar to that of Motrin, ibuprofen, and so it's good at fighting, you know, but processed olive oil can actually increase inflammation. Your green leafy vegetables,
mm-hmm.
your spinach, your kale, your collards, them collard greens, Brother Frank.
Yep.
They are very, very anti-inflammatory. And one of the things that we probably will talk about a little more later is nuts. Your almonds, your walnuts, powerful, powerful anti-inflammatories. Another one that's sort of questionable are your fatty fish, things like salmon, mackerel, tuna, sardines. And I say it because they now contain a lot, the way they are grown, these farm fish contain a lot of toxins, which I believe is contributing to inflammation. And so I would put them sort of at the bottom of the list. But one that we really have to highlight are your fruits, especially those berries, man, those strawberries, those blueberries. You know, we've talked about a number of times, blueberries are probably one of the best fruits you can eat. Cherries, I had me some good organic cherries that somebody gave me Sabbath at church, man. I tore them up some more up today, man. They were so good. Them cherries and oranges. These are all anti-inflammatory. So they reduce inflammation. They reduce chronic disease. And in particular, as we mentioned, those fruits, those berries, those apples, those green leafy vegetables, they are high in these antioxidants.
Yeah.
They're high in the polyphenols, you know, and so they therefore are protective. All right. Somebody I was reading earlier today, this guy said that we don't want to take out a constituent of the broccoli. What makes the broccoli good, the component of the broccoli that makes it good is the broccoli. You know, that's why I'm not a big fan of supplements.
Supplements, that's right.
All right? I've said it numerous times. I like food, all right? And studies have shown that these foods reduce these inflammatory markers. Nuts especially, man. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts are powerful in reducing the markers. I was reading that walnuts are especially beneficial. You know, they did studies and they looked at people who eat walnuts versus people who don't, and people who consume walnuts, they're able to double. I mean, people who don't eat walnuts, they have a double risk of dying of heart disease.
Mm.
Did you hear me, Frank?
Wow.
Compared if they eat walnuts just one serving a week.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. One serving a week, all right?
What's a serving, Doc?
Let's say about an ounce.
An ounce, that's it. An
ounce a week.
Mm-hmm.
First.
You can't beat that. I mean, food is medicine. Food is medicine.
All right. Now they did a study and they looked at the people who didn't eat the walnuts compared to the ones who did. Now, the ones who ate the walnuts, it actually lowered the cholesterol. All right.
Mm-hmm.
But it only lowered the cholesterol 5%. All right. So what is responsible for that other 50%, 45% drop in mortality? It's those other nutrients. It's the walnut's ability to affect the arterial function, all right? To make the vessels more pliable, to basically decrease the rigidity of those blood vessels so that you can get more blood into the system, all right? And they've done studies on this, you know, and they said, you know, that at least five major studies where they looked at it and they gave them in a couple of studies, they replaced the meat in one study, they replaced the meat for walnuts.
Mm-hmm.
In another study, they replaced the oils, the olive oil, which can increase the stiffness of the vessels, with walnuts. And so they said, well, maybe it's just that we're replacing the bad with the good. But in other studies, at least three other major studies, Frank, they use walnuts as a snack, all right? And it was shown to improve the endothelial function of the artery. The endothelium is the lining of the artery of those blood vessels, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And they say that if you took the endothelium in the blood vessels of the heart and laid it end to end, you could wrap around the earth 40 times.
Wow.
I mean, the endothelium is so powerful, you know. We're fearfully and wonderfully made. And it's dysfunction of that endothelium that leads to heart disorders, you know, lead to heart disorders. Now, another study, they looked at nuts. It was an Australian study. They looked at 2,500 people, and they followed them for 15 years, Frank.
Mm.
And in that time, 200 people died of inflammatory diseases. And so the researchers wanted to know what was the protection for those people who did not die.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that it was nuts. they found that a half a walnut a day.
Just a half
a walnut a day.
Mm.
Cut the risk of dying from inflammatory diseases in half. Did you hear me, Frank? A half a walnut a day cut the risk of dying in half. The study showed that increasing the consumption of nuts as little as 1.4 grams, that's about half the weight of a penny.
Mm.
Was associated with 49% decreased risk of dying from chronic diseases. All right? That's equivalent to one almond a day. A half of a walnut, one almond a day. All right? Now, there's some fishy stories floating around that fish actually improves or decreases cardio vascular disease. Well, the study showed that fish consumption seemed not to do a thing, Frank.
Yeah.
The protection came from nuts, not fish, in terms of decreasing the inflammatory morbidity. So we're talking about 80 to 90% of people who die in this country from these inflammatory diseases by eating a couple nuts a day, Frank. So would you say that a person who's not eating nuts
is nuts?
Crazy. They're nutty if they don't eat nuts. You know, we want to give our audience a chance to ask questions or to make comments. So if you have a question or a comment, you can call us. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Call us with any questions or comments that you want to have. So Here's the deal, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
Vegetarian diets, all right? That plant, that whole food plant-based diet is associated with lower inflammatory levels, all right? And it's associated. There's something called C-reactive protein. That's a test that we do to measure inflammation in the body. And researchers show that this vegetarian diet is associated with lower levels of C-reactive protein. One of the things that I get on my patients is something called a cardiac C-reactive protein, where it specifically looks at the heart, all right? And so the studies show that the vegetarians have lower risk of heart disease, all right, because of the improved antioxidant and anti-inflammatory status of them. And so, you know, what can we say? I mean, it's just, it's amazing what we can do if we just choose to eat a healthy diet. If you have a question, you have a comment, give us a call. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go to our phone. Yes, caller, you're on the line. Yes, caller.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment, please.
Please.
Yeah. Something called carrageenan. I've seen it in vegetarian bacon, and I have been advised by a dietitian not to make that type of purchase because of this carrageenan. What does your research show on that?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Frank.
It definitely causes inflammation. It's in a lot of foods, especially plant-based milks.
Okay.
So you got to read the labels clearly and do it twice, you know. And if you don't know how to pronounce it, put it back.
I've been told by a dietitian, in fact, a dietitian, that Dr. Watkins had recommended to me, Dr. Ruby. Stay as far away from that as you can. And I've noticed it's been in a lot of vegetarian products. I buy a lot of Morningstar products.
Stay away from Morningstar. Period.
Why?
Period.
Give me a scientific reason for that, brother.
I'm sorry.
Read the label.
Read the label.
Read the label. All right. If you read the label, you'll see all those chemicals in there. You know, and I used to, eat a lot of that stuff.
Me too.
And I remember I took one of my classmates. I was trying to get her interested in. And healthy food and spiritual stuff. And I took her to one of the health food stores. I said, you may see something, you know, it was my third year in medical school, Frank.
Mm-hmm.
I took her out to the store out in Tacoma Park. And I said, you may see something in here you like. And when she came out, she didn't have anything. So I said, you didn't see anything you like? She said, Ted, did you read those labels? She said, I don't eat that kind of stuff. Man, I was so embarrassed. I could have went under my little Volkswagen, man. So you have to be very, very careful, you know, that you don't consume, you know. Now, there's some that are a little better than others, you know, but read the labels.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. But I don't advise you eating a lot of none of them.
Yeah, that's right.
Whole food, plant-based diet is the way to go. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our call. Yes, caller, you're on the line.
Yeah, Dr. Watkins, I sure would like to know what spices or herbs that you use to cook with. I'm going to listen to you.
Well, the one I use probably more than anyone else is cayenne pepper.
Okay. Yep.
I love me some cayenne pepper.
Thank you.
Know, I use basil. I use turmeric. Anytime I cook rice, I put turmeric because turmeric helps to get rid of the arsenic in the rice. You know.
Okay.
So I use turmeric. Just a variety. You find the ones that you like. I love ginger. You know, I love me some ginger, and I use a lot of that. I even put ginger in my beans sometimes. It gives it a different taste. I put it in my smoothies.
Okay.
It's good. It's good for the stomach. It's anti-inflammatory. It has so many beneficial effects. Did we mention basil? You know, there are all kinds of herbs. I suggest that you play with some of them and find the ones that you like and use them. All right. I don't use black pepper.
Okay.
Right. Because it's an irritant. But I do use cayenne pepper because it opens up the blood vessels. Plus I like the taste.
Hey, Doc.
Yes.
So
I just want to say that
there are other herbs that cut inflammation. You mentioned ginger. Garlic does a good job. Onions,
yes. Jobs.
Cardamom, which is a Indian spice, that cuts inflammation. And black pepper is an irritant, but it, according to this site, Healthline, it lowers inflammation. So, and especially—
It's an irritant to the stomach. That's why I don't use it.
Exactly.
And I believe we can use others. Now, I ain't going to beat you up.
No.
Use it, but I personally don't use it.
Yeah. There's ginseng as well.
Oh, that's an excellent one.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Rosemary. And I put that in my rice.
Oh, yeah. I use rosemary.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Ceylon cinnamon.
Use a lot of cinnamon.
Yep.
Okay.
That's in my oatmeal.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oatmeal is not oatmeal without cinnamon.
Ceylon cinnamon.
Yeah.
It's a little bit more expensive.
Yeah.
I buy it in bulk. And don't use a bunch of it, you know, like a teaspoon.
They say that it was the cassius cinnamon.
Cassius, yeah.
Can cause some people to have liver issues. Now, the reality is most people in the world use cassius.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the research is suggesting that it can have problems with the liver. And so we tend to buy the Ceylon. The number is 202-588-0893. That's 202-588-0893. We're talking about inflammation, one of the leading causes of death. It kills, it's responsible for 50% of deaths in the world. And 80 to 90% here in the United States. Let's go back to our phones. Just call her. You're on the line.
Hello. This is Robert in Woodbridge, Virginia.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say that I concur completely with everything y'all have said. I embarked on a vegan diet about 18 months ago, and it is definitely showing the results. The nuts. Getting ready to do them now. But I would just want to say once again, the sage advice, I appreciate it. And but don't eat too many of them wellness now. Ooh, have a great day.
All right. Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a good point. You have to eat nuts in moderation. Too much nuts will increase that fat and make you fat.
Put oxalates in your kidneys too, give you kidney stones. But you know, unfortunately, right now that's pretty much my diet. But everything you said, I do agree with.
Thank you, sir.
Have a great numbers, day.
All right, thank you. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Yes, caller. You're on the line.
Yes, I'm curious about the organic tofu, the almond milk, and the plant-based foods that you see in the market.
Turn your radio off. So, you know, organic tofu is okay, all right?
Okay.
The one knock on it is that some people say, well, it's processed. But if you have minimally processed tofu, it can be very good because the soybeans are excellent in terms of decreasing both breast and prostate cancer and a number of other things. What was the other things you mentioned?
Almond milk and the plant-based foods that you see in the store. Should we be getting those? Because some people say they're processed also, so I'm concerned.
Plant-based foods? You mean the whole foods?
Plant-based milks.
Plant-based milks.
Mm-hmm. No, all right. So almond milk
is definitely better than your dairy, you know. But if you can make your own almond milk, that's even better.
Okay.
All right. If you get organic almonds and make your own almond milk, and there are a number of recipes online that you can look at to see how to do that.
Just look up on YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much.
Once again, the number is 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. Let's go back to our phone. Just call her. You're on the line.
Hi, Dr. Watkins. Thank you for everything.
My pleasure.
I had a question, two things. Your thoughts on the healthiest lentils and as well ancient grains like farro, spelt, wheat germ, all that stuff. What are your thoughts?
So I'm not really up on the various types of lentils. Frank, you got anything on that?
Black lentils seem to be the healthiest. That's what I've researched.
Okay. So if we go to places like, you know, you can go to the African markets or the Pakistani markets, you recommend those?
Yep. Beluga lentils. They're called black lentils. Or beluga lentils. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Those markets are good.
Yeah, they got them at Mom's, and sometimes they have it at Whole Foods, and you know, just look around.
Those other grains, they're also good.
Yeah.
You know, and the variety of grains. All right, variety of grains. People who live the longest in the world eat a lot of grain, your rice, your oatmeal, etc. So grains are very, very, very good.
This might be a good time to insert this comment. If you're allergic to gluten, and a lot of people are, stay away from wheat, even if it's whole wheat, farro. There's a whole list of spelt and other things, and consume buckwheat, which is a pseudo grain, and you can do you can grind up a lot of different seeds and make flours out of those.
Very good.
Chickpeas.
Very good point. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk about something now that may be surprising to a lot of people.
I think we have another caller, Doc.
We have another caller. Well, let's take that caller. They hung up. Okay. All right. One of the things that is a very good anti-inflammatory is chocolate.
Yeah.
Brother Frank, chocolate is an excellent anti-inflammatory. But what makes chocolate bad, Brother Frank?
The fat and the sugar. And the sugar.
Milk, the milk, the sugar, the fat. But if you have pure chocolate, it's been shown to be very, very beneficial in a number of chronic diseases, including heart disease.
Yeah.
All right.
Dark chocolate.
Yeah, dark chocolate, you know.
Pure.
They looked at they call it flow mediated dilatation of the main arteries in the arm, and they use these arteries because they're about the same caliber of coronary arteries, and you don't have to do angiograms in order to really test them, and they found that using the chocolate, all right, using the chocolate actually boosts the arterial function within hours of consumption, all right? And so, you know, you can take like a teaspoon of the natural cocoa, the pure stuff, you know, and test it. Now, at first they questioned the studies because it was done by Hershey, the doctors at Hershey, but they found that a number of other studies did the same thing and promoted them. I mean, chocolate has been known for many years to be very, very high in antioxidants and to be anti-inflammatory. And so you don't want to use the sugar milk chocolate, even though studies have shown that some of that even works, but not nearly as well as using the dark chocolate. You know, they did these double blind studies and they showed that it really works. There's something called the cold presser test, where they take and they plunge your arm into a bucket of ice water, and normally the response is that you get constriction in the arteries, but after you take that dark chocolate, it actually dilates the blood vessels. And so dark chocolate is a good thing, you know, if used correctly. Now Brother Frank, you had some other foods that you wanted to mention too. What are those foods that are
Yeah, we might have to go into next week. In fact, you mentioned that. This is a two-part series, inflammation. So we're 3 minutes over our limit. I want to thank Doc, and we want to thank WPFW, especially our engineer, Kalia Chapman, Ayuki Williams, Acting General Manager, Katia Stitt, Program Director. We want to thank all of our programmers and volunteers and our contributors. Thank you, Joni. And thank you, Ola Dari, and Maka B for your music contributions. Stay tuned to WPFW Jazz and Justice Radio. Next up is Brother Kaba, African Deep Thought Edition. And after that, The East with Ambrose Lane Jr. Listen again next Monday at 2:00 for another life-saving broadcast of To Your Health. The topic will be inflammation part 2. Thank you. No dead eyes, no fur, no feathers.
people I don't eat meat, fish, or dairy. Then look for me strangely. Then I realize I eat a very wide variety. Listen to Maccabee. Yo, how when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yam. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan, man. How when me eat, them I wonder when me eat. When me tell him, say me no eat no fish, nah, no meat now. How when me eat, them I wonder when me yam. When me tell him, say that I'm a vegan. When me no eat no meat, no fish, no cheese, nah, no egg. Nothing with no food, no...
Good afternoon. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Here are some headlines for this hour. As the summer surge of COVID-19 continues, the United States government has announced that American households will be eligible to order 4 free COVID-19 nasal swab tests at the end of next month. At-home COVID tests can be taken at home or in other locations and typically provide results within 30 minutes or less. The sending of these tests is part of a program by COVIDtests.gov, which has already distributed over 900 million tests directly to American households. The announcement of the government-delivered COVID tests come after the FDA's recent approval of new vaccines, which are expected to hit pharmacy shelves and doctors' offices within a week. Health officials have explained that the new vaccines, which target the latest COVID strains, are necessary because the virus keeps evolving to overcome our immune defenses, and the protection that's offered by vaccines weaken over time. So annual vaccination against COVID-19 is encouraged, similar to yearly flu shots, and the CDC recommends that everyone 6 months of age and older should receive a new vaccine. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres is calling for an immediate de-escalation after there was an exchange of heavy fire over the weekend between Israel and Hezbollah, a militant group based in Lebanon. The back and forth has been described as some of the heaviest cross-border air attacks in months. Early yesterday morning, over 100 Israeli warplanes struck about 40 sites in Lebanon. Hezbollah responded by launching hundreds of drones and rockets at Israel. The group said their response was revenge for Israel killing its senior commander, Fuad Shukr, in July. 3 deaths were reported in Lebanon and 1 in Israel. Israel described its attacks as preemptive or preventive, saying the raid was conducted to weaken a forthcoming attack by Hezbollah. But a Hezbollah leader rejected that claim, saying that Israel's act was one of, quote, aggression. To your local news, in New York City, today, Mayor Eric Adams launched an initiative called Money in Your Pocket to help New Yorkers take advantage of more than 70 city, state, and federal programs that can make life more affordable. To help New Yorkers easily view and understand the programs they may be eligible for, Mayor Adams also released today a Money in Your Pocket guide online, which is accessible via nyc.gov. Starting today and going forward on a weekly basis, hundreds of trained staff from across the city government and university population will begin to visit more than 20 underserved neighborhoods and New York City Housing Authority buildings to help thousands of New York City residents find out which benefits they may be eligible to receive. To the D.C. area, Washington, D.C. is one of 27 regions in the United States where Walmart stores have recalled the Great Value brand of apple juice. Overall, Walmart has recalled nearly 10,000 cases of this apple juice manufactured by Refresco Beverages sold in stores across the United States because they were found to contain potentially harmful levels of inorganic arsenic. According to the National Institutes of Health, very low levels of inorganic and organic arsenic are found in many food products. But the Environmental Protection Agency, or EPA, points out that inorganic arsenic can cause cancer. However, the levels found in the recalled apple juice bottles are low enough that the FDA does not expect them to cause such severe health consequences. In today's weather, it's currently about 83 degrees in New York and 85 degrees in D.C. That's all for your headline news this hour. For WPFW Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Darnia Samuels. Please be safe, and thank you for listening.